Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. My guest today is a Harvard Law School graduate, 1996. She's a young chick by my standards. She's a Florida Supreme Court certified family mediator and a peacemaker. And she has a law firm called Peaceful Beach Mediation and Collaboration. And that all sounds very new agey to me, and I suspect to many of you, but we will describe what it's about in a minute. My guest name is Brooke Daratani-Goldfarb. Welcome, Brooke.
Hi, Court.
So we're not here to do an infomercial for her law practice, but there is, as has not escaped many of our attentions, however you say that, there's an epidemic of divorce and dysfunctional fractured families in this country. And Brooke is not just a single individual with an eccentric approach to family law. There is kind of a movement starting to grow to facilitate what's called, I guess the catchphrase for it is, peaceful divorce. Is that right?
That's what I like to call it.
Okay. So, but I see on other websites that you sent me that it's called that by other law firms, you know, around the state and around the country. So, you know, I guess the lead into this is to give a few of the numbers that we all kind of are vaguely and fearfully aware of. The U.S. has one of the highest divorce rates in the world, right? I think it's 3.4 divorces per 1,000 population. I don't know why they think that's a valid kind of statistic since it includes babies and people in their 90s, but compared to a marriage rate of 6.8 per 1,000. So I guess that works out to be about a 50% divorce rate. And I saw somewhere else that recent divorce rate statistics show that the U.S. divorce rate is around 40%. So let's call it 40 to 50%. Anyway, it's a horrendously high rate of those matrimonial vows end up being thrown to the ground. And so some other things that you may have heard or may not have heard, divorce rate statistics show that couples without children have a higher divorce rate in America, and I guess that's for fairly obvious reasons, right? You know, people used to stay together for the kids, and I suppose to some extent they still do, and there are other financial and psychological factors driving that as well. So U.S. divorce rates in couples who have children, is the divorce rates are lower, and the children of divorced parents are themselves prone to divorcing at a rate, and this is kind of shocking, although, you know, it's sort of understandable, but four times the rate of children of couples who are not divorced. So if your pattern or model in parenting includes divorce, you're way more likely to end up getting divorced than those for whom it does not. And so another final thing I'm going to give in terms of statistics, because I know your attention span for those things runs out shortly, is that the divorce rate in America after first marriage is about, again, 41 to 50%, so right in that zone. But after the second marriage, I guess it gets a little easier, and it's 60% to 67%, so about two-thirds of all people who have a second marriage get divorced. After the third marriage, it goes from about 73% to 74%, so about three-quarters of the people who have been married three times are likely to get divorced again. And I suppose after that, it gets to be like an extended one-night stand, and you just sort of get divorced. It's approaching the 100% rate at a certain point, huh? But so our model for divorce is that both parties get lawyered up and the two attorneys go at it like hired jousters or gunslingers, and basically they start a war. And honestly, you know, to be quite blunt, it's like jackals feeding on a corpse. It's very adversarial, and it's one reason that people dislike lawyers in our culture, right? So Brooke is an advocate and a practitioner of something that tries to be the opposite of that. So now we'll get to Brooke, now that I've given a long spiel in the beginning of the show here. Brooke, was it always like that, that people hire, both parties hire an attorney, and then the two attorneys sharpen their knives and go at it as best they can?
Well, it does seem that the traditional divorce is for both the husband and the wife to lawyer up and to duke it out in court. Although there's always been, as far as I can tell, in the state of Florida, a small percentage of what we call uncontested divorces. And to a certain extent, peaceful divorce is really just an extension of the uncontested divorce and presenting to divorcing parties the opportunity to do it a cleaner way than in a more family-friendly way than in a negative way.
So I think that to come to someone like you presupposes that you are amenable to a peaceful divorce or to an uncontested divorce. So already they're kind of self-selected by the time they come to you.
Right. If they're going to come to a place called Peaceful Beach, they're not looking to they're not out for blood usually.
Yeah, they don't want to fight on the beach. So how do they, I mean, is there some way, how is this being, how is the pool of people who are interested in coming to you and are interested in an uncontested divorce, how is that pool expanding? I guess it's like, what strategies and what kind of social message are people like you, attorneys like you, spreading to try to increase the propensity for people to seek this kind of divorce rather than the usual warfare?
Well, you know, there are some other movements out there in addition to my working with couples in a mediated capacity where I'm not actually working as the lawyer. I'm working as the mediator, and the couples come in together and they can either represent themselves or they can have their own attorneys. There's also a movement known as collaborative divorce, and I know that there are attorneys across the nation who also are unhappy with the litigation process, because although litigation is very destructive to the litigants, it's also not a very fun way to work for most people. And so there are attorneys and other practitioners in professions such as psychologists, social workers, and financial planners who have rallied around this concept of the collaborative divorce, whereby the husband and the wife might still hire an attorney, but there's a decision among the parties, attorneys and participants, that they will do it in an amicable way and that they will keep it outside of court. And we are seeing this more and more. So we don't necessarily have to get rid of the lawyers.
Well, I mean, you know, let's be frank, the lawyering business has an incentive to continue and even increase to the extent possible the combative aspect of it. I mean, you know, you hear horror stories. There was once an attorney in town who only took doctors' wives as clients, and they had to have a net worth over a certain figure. And it was a number of years back, but, you know, let's call it $3 million or whatever it would be. And you know, it's clearly, it's geared to increasing the take of the lawyer. So I'm thinking on the one hand that a lot of attorneys view you probably as somebody who's a subversive, undermining their business from a business standpoint, right? And then I'm wondering whether attorneys that, as you said a minute ago, that the parties might come to you with an attorney, many attorneys are not going to be inclined to want to encourage their clients to get involved in that
process.
Because
you're saying that they could make more money litigating.
Yeah, I would think.
Right. Well, that's true. But you know what? There are all kinds of needs out there. And as much as I'm an advocate of peaceful divorce, and as much as I would like to encourage people to remember that even if they're not going to be husband and wife anymore, they came into each other's lives for a reason. If they had children together, they're still a family for the rest of their lives. Their children are going to be graduating. They're going to be getting married. They're going to be having children. And they're going to need to be able to maintain a relationship. Even though I'm an advocate of that concept, there are certain cases where you do need, a person might need a hired gun, for example, in a domestic violence situation. And, you know, sometimes people can't come to the table and negotiate in good faith and on a level playing field. Maybe there's some sort of personality disorder that keeps one person from being able to talk rationally. And so there's a need for litigators, and there's a need for the warrior, and there's a need for the peacemaker. What we hope is that all professionals will be professional. And I think most of the time we do see that. At least I'm here in Brevard County, and I think the members of our bar, for the most part, are very upstanding. We have a very congenial bar. I know that in Central Florida, generally, for example, in Orlando, the collaborative association is very active there. And so the key is to talk to people when they come into your office for a divorce about the ability to do it in a kinder, gentler way, in a way that will keep them out of court. And I don't know if you know court, even when divorcing parties hire attorneys to litigate their case, before they're allowed to go to the judge, what's the judge going to do? The judge says, have you mediated this? I order you to mediation. And sometimes time takes time. And sometimes people are ready to sit down and talk reasonably early on. And sometimes people need a little bit more time. So, but even the courts are very much encouraging you know, to keep their dockets free for the cases that really need to be heard. Because most nice, normal people, they just need to get on with their lives. And this is a way that they can do it with as little pain and suffering as possible to themselves and to their family.
So it sounds like then that many attorneys are aware of this, and it's one possible route that they can suggest to their clients to take, depending on the circumstances, and they're not always going for the money to carve up the corpse, as I said earlier, in a crude way. But so maybe many attorneys are open to this, or the other route, depending on the circumstances. I suspect that you get, or do you get, referrals from marriage counselors? Because I think a lot of marriages that are breaking up go through the marriage counseling route en route to doing that, right?
Oh, yes. Actually, some of my favorite couples, they're the couples that went to counseling first. And I actually ask on my intake sheet whether or not you've tried to work it out in counseling. And they're people that they went to counseling, they tried to make it work, they came to some sort of realization, hey, we've just grown apart, we can't stay together, but let's move on in a way that respects the fact that for the time that we were together, it meant something, it was worth something. Let's preserve the assets that we built together and not destroy them. I think it's not easy. It's not easy for people to not let their emotions take over them. It makes sense that they might be afraid, or I'm sure they're angry. I'm sure this couple, every time somebody has made somebody angry, they've made each other angry. But I actually am very inspired by the people who come into my office who they get that just because they can't be together as husband and wife anymore, that they don't want any carnage and they want to protect, especially in this economy. They don't have maybe the luxury to spend so much money on attorney's fees to hurt the other person. So maybe in this economy, people are rising to a higher level. I don't know what the statistics are between people going the uncontested, the collaborative, the mediated route, as opposed to the litigation route. But I suspect since a mediated divorce or a collaborative divorce costs less than all the litigation fees, that that's one of the things that makes it much more attractive to people who don't have a lot left and need to be able to save what it is that they have. And I think that I imagine that you see this increasing, not just nationally, but internationally.
That is kind of an ironic silver lining around the recession cloud, if you want to think of it that way, that there's not enough money. I mean, one aspect of it is that usually in a divorce, one party has to buy the other one a house or something, and suddenly they go from one house to two houses, and the ability to sell one house is not there anymore, and the resources to buy a second house are not there anymore, so maybe the recession is helping to keep people together, although it does increase financial stress. So imagine there's a trade-off between those two elements.
Well, it is simple math that two households cost more than one. Yeah. And the concept of peaceful divorce is not that one person, it's supposed to be win-win. It's supposed to be, how can we make sure that everybody comes through this okay? The husband, the wife, the children, how can we come out so that nobody's on the street? And it's great when the couple themselves can decide what makes the most sense for them. Then they own their agreement, and they're much more likely to abide by their agreement because it wasn't forced upon them by a judge who's just met them.
So I'm assuming that the majority of divorces probably are driven by men who may have driven their wives to distraction. And when they get to you, the wife is, in many cases, I'm assuming this, you can tell me if it's true or not, but is in many cases, you know, furious and hurt and scared. And so how do you work around? I mean, you're not a psychologist, but, you know, you're an intelligent, experienced woman with some empathy. How do you work around those emotions to get all that to settle out before you can begin to actually deal with, let's call it, the business aspects of the situation?
Well, I have some friends who are in this movement with me, and I think that they say that divorce is 65% emotional, and maybe that's one of the reasons why certain lawyers feel more comfortable with the litigation than they do with collaborating or mediating, because it scares them to see people cry. You know, the great thing about the courtroom is, you know, there's no crying. You know, it's just the facts. It's just this. It's just that. But when we're in mediation, it's true. There's a lot of emotion going along, and we invite it. And it's true. I'm not a psychologist, but I have... I do work with psychologists if it's necessary sometimes. Sometimes we can bring in a neutral psychologist or a mental health professional if we need some additional help. But many times there are just some simple things such as giving the parties a safe place to hear each other and allowing them to express themselves and facilitating that communication, wonderful things can happen. Sometimes these people haven't been communicating for months or years. And when they're finally get in the room together and they feel heard, great things can happen. Apologies can happen. And there's just, I can see the transformation coming over their faces about, okay, well, I guess I can start to accept this and I can start to move forward. We can't deal with their childhood issues. And oftentimes I refer people to, just like I get some great referrals from psychologists, I'll refer people out to psychologists as well. If I see that they're struggling in particular, because let's face it, divorce is a very traumatic experience. It makes complete sense that anybody going through a divorce would need to see a counselor to help deal with the trauma. It's a great loss.
You're listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking today with Brooke Daratani-Goldfarb, who's an attorney in Brevard County, and she is a proponent of something called peaceful divorce, which is a kind of a movement that's starting to grow to counter the model of vicious, acrimonious attack divorce, where two sides each have opposing attorneys who are going at each other on behalf of their clients and meanwhile are demolishing the family's finances and nerves and everything else. It takes a long time, too. But so, you know, we were talking earlier then, Brooke, that the people who come to you are kind of self-selected for the most part to be oriented toward or disposed toward a peaceful divorce or a kind of an uncontested divorce, but there are a lot of emotions that get involved. And so how do you, how long a process is that? When people first come in to you, I mean, you must see the same things over and over again. And you said you're not a psychologist, but I suspect you don't really have to be to deal with the great majority of the situations you see because you've seen them before and because you're empathetic and you have, you know, eyes and a heart and a brain and you see what you're looking at. But is it really stressful for you sometimes? And does it take a long time to get over that psychological hump before you can get to the point that you were just describing where the people say, okay, we've kind of turned a corner and we've expressed ourselves here maybe for the first time in a long time in each other's presence with somebody else there who keeps us from screaming at each other, right? And maybe we
them scream a little.
Okay. Well, maybe there's some...
to get it out.
Some steam that has to come out, right?
Sure,
What is that process like, inside the room? Is it a long-term process that goes on for meeting after meeting or what?
Yeah, actually, it takes time and every couple has to work at its own pace or at their own pace. It's funny about how you talk about the conflict. For some reason, our own conflict is very stressful and very scary. But when it's somebody else's conflict, it's very easy to be the neutral person in the room. And since it's not affecting you, you can see where it is, where they're maybe talking around the same thing. They might even be agreeing, but they're so emotionally charged that they're stuck and they can't move forward.
Yeah.
So it's... I actually really enjoy helping, pointing out, see, you actually agree. And they're like, oh, gosh, if we'd only stop fighting.
They both turn against you and they unite against you.
No. It's great. It's great. No. So what'll happen is it usually takes a few sessions. Some people need a period of weeks, say a couple of hours together a week. And some people need months. The other great thing about... What I would say the great thing about a peaceful divorce is that the couples tend to get divorced within a matter of weeks or months as opposed to years. Even my most complicated case was still finished within a year. And contrast that to the litigated system, where it's so clogged up that people have to wait 2 or 3 years for a court date. Think about how stuck they are, and they can't get on with their lives, and it's very upsetting. And this is a way where we just, you know, just very, it's actually very methodical. You go point by point, okay, what is it that we're going to have to address? And we address the point one by one, we talk it over, and we move on. And as we move on, the couple can see, it's usually one person is usually more emotional than the other. Mm-hmm. Usually one person wants the divorce more than the other person. But by the end, once we've come up with their agreement, there's a sense of calm and relief. And even acceptance, because they've dealt with it. They saw the world didn't come to an end. They've empowered themselves to make their own decisions. And they have a guide and a path to move forward. And maybe they've even learned some communication skills so that they can deal with each other in the future. And you hear about people becoming wonderful friends maybe a year or two after they've been divorced, because, you know, they're able to get back to what attracted them in the first place. Not that they'll necessarily get back together. Most people do not get back together, but some
they,
do.
They got along great when they were dating. So,
but they get along because they're just not living with each other, and they're able to communicate. Well, they were just in a stressful situation at the time. So it's actually very rewarding to help people just move on, move forward, and let them know that it will be. I've seen it enough to know it will be okay.
So I said a while ago, I speculated that the majority of divorces are probably driven by men who want to leave for various reasons or whatever, but is that the case?
You know, I don't think that's true. I think I've seen some statistics that show, I'm not sure where I saw it, that actually it's 75% of divorce filings are by the women.
Huh.
And I haven't really kept track, but I it feels to me from the people that come in my office that it's usually the woman that wants to move on.
Hmm.
And you know why I think that is? I think that this is just a theory, but you know how many women seem more open to the concept of going to counseling?
Mm-hmm.
They're more willing to talk about things.
Sure.
And
well, I take that as being they're more interested in saving the marriage, so they think that a counselor might facilitate that, but maybe that's part of the reason. But anyway,
well, I don't know. I think, you know, the woman is more willing to talk about it. The man maybe is less willing to look at it.
For sure.
And then, you know, the man's still happy. Men actually supposedly are happier being married. That's what they say.
And
because it's supposedly
as long as the wife lets them have the mistress, they're fine.
Oh, exactly. So anyway, I find that maybe it might be 75% of the time the woman is the one ready to move on, with the man not understanding how they got here. But it just, you know, by the time they were able to get to the counseling, it was just too late. But the good news is that everybody still has the opportunity to be happy. They can, you know, work it out, move on, preserve their relationship, and most importantly, when there are children involved, they can still be a really great mom and dad team, because, you know, think of all the opportunities for children to play the mom or the dad off against one another. They can still be a really great mom and dad team and focus on the business of raising their family and being parents to their children, even their adult children, if they go a peaceful route. And they learn to communicate.
So you said a while ago that it takes a lot less time for this process than for the litigated process. So what's the end product, just from a process standpoint of your practice? What's the end product? Do you try to then achieve an agreed divorce settlement and that's it? Or is there something beyond that?
Actually, it's quite simple. We just start working on their marital settlement agreement. And if there are children, a parenting plan. And so we just... We focus on this agreement and developing it and getting it to be what they want it to be, because it's their life, it was their marriage, and it's their divorce. We get the finalized agreement, it gets filed with the court, and there's some other paperwork for it to be an uncontested divorce. And then there's a simple 15-minute final hearing with the judge that ratifies the agreement, assuming the agreement is within the realms of normalcy and that it's fair. And fair, you know, is a very broad term, but basically we want to make sure that everybody's okay, the children are okay, and that their needs are being taken care of as best as possible under the circumstances. And that they, you know, they've empowered themselves, the couple, to do it on their own. And it goes faster because they're not waiting to hear back from their lawyer and they're not waiting for their hearing. They are saying, okay, this is what fits with my schedule. And of course, they have the opportunity to consult with an attorney or a tax advisor or a financial planner. There are so many issues. They can even consult with a psychologist about, you know, what might be in the best interest of the children. But most couples, they know what works for them. And we empower them to get an agreement that works for them.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm one of the 50% who's never been divorced, but so I don't know the process that well. But the settlement then is pretty much the end, and then a judge will pretty much rubber stamp that, and what's cut out or what's saved is the long back and forth of hearings and motions and counteroffers and counteroffers to the settlement and all of that. So is that the case then, that it's pretty
much
a slam dunk
in
once the settlement?
In the traditional way, first a lawsuit is filed. One side says something, oh, these are all the things I'm angry about and this is all I want. The other side answers, and then it gets really messy from there. In the peaceful way, we just come up to all of our agreements first, then we file it as all agreed to, and it's done.
What percentage, off the top of your head, roughly, what percentage decide not to get divorced after they come to you?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I would say 95% of the time, if they've gotten to me, they're going to get divorced. Now and then, there are the people that start talking to each other and they end up staying together. Sometimes, I can't say forever, but sometimes at least for, maybe they'll give it another try.
Okay.
Every now and then, they'll come back a year or two later, but at least they know that they've exhausted all of their options and they gave it their best shot to stay together.
Well, that's good, and we hope that that 5% increases to a larger percentage. Let me ask you, you know, we just have a minute or so left, Brooke, but do law schools teach this? Are they starting to, this approach to divorce or family law?
I think law schools are really picking up on the concept of alternative dispute resolution, the alternative being the alternative to litigation. And I think that you'll see classes on mediation and negotiation and arbitration, which is another way to resolve disputes. And I think that you'll see that more and more prevalently, especially since the costs of litigation are so high and all of the courts are so clogged. The judges are demanding that people take responsibility for their lives and try to solve their own problems before coming to the courthouse.
All right. Well, that's a good trend then, because if attorneys are more acquainted with this process through their education, they're going to be much more open to the prospect for suggesting that for clients who might come in. Well, Brooke Daratani-Goldfarb, I sure appreciate you being on with us on American Variety. Let's give your website, which is a mouthful here, but at least it's spelled like it sounds. You don't even need the www part. It's just peacefulbeachmediation.com. Peacefulbeachmediation.com, all one word. And another one you can go to look at that has a lot of information and resources on this topic is www.cuttingedgelaw, just like it sounds, cuttingedgelaw.com. Brooke, again, thank you for being on with us on American Variety.
Well, thank you, Court. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks to you all for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.